Our Father and our God, once again, we thank you because every time we hear your word, it inspires our heart. And as it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We pray that that will be the case this morning, that your light will come into our hearts, give us the word will come into our hearts and give light and give understanding. Glory of God, and the Lord's name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Right away, let me first of all say that the things of God are spiritually discerned. You know, so when anytime we are in these rooms or wherever you are, even on your own reading the Word of God, we need to keep that principle in mind. That the things of God are spiritually discerned, and the natural man cannot comprehend the things of God. So in our flesh, we can't. And it's not by intellect or whatever. And if we hear something that we don't understand from the Word of God, or we're having difficulty figuring it out, we'll try to switch from the natural mind to the spiritual. You know, that's where the knowledge, the Holy Spirit knowledge, will drop in. Light and understanding will come. It's only in the spiritual realm. You can't get it. You know, Jesus himself said it. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. You know, so, you know, and we must always engage the Lord in the spirit. What does it mean to us to, you know, seek the Lord and to know him so that we may love him, to worship him? We've covered all those four topics. But today I want to cover serving him. So this is the topic on to seek him, to know him, to love him, to worship him, and to serve him. You know, that ultimately become like him and reign with him. So let's pick up the topic on serving him. I want to invite you to silently pray for a few seconds so that you get the most out of this. Praise the Lord. Serving him. To serve him is pretty much the same thing as to obey him. He says, and we do. But let's look at some scriptures, look at different angles from the Bible about serving the Lord. Look at what the scriptures say about that. Look at what the Lord himself says, and see if there's any rewards for doing that. Praise the Lord. As early as, you know, the book of Exodus, the Lord began to talk to the people in obeying his voice. Obeying his voice, well, that's what a servant does. Basically, the master says something and you go do it. It's the same thing as obeying. So there's many ways that we can look at service. We'll come into what your service means. I think we alluded to some part of it yesterday. But obeying his voice is a key element in serving him. And in Exodus 15 and 26, we see that the Lord began to speak to the people. Look, obey my voice. If you obey my voice indeed, and so on. So to obey his voice, we got to know his voice. And we've been talking about that the last few days. So we see the principles that the Lord laid out in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Starting out by saying, look, obey my voice. If you obey my voice and you do all of these things, then I will do this. You know, so that particular verse, which is we've talked about many times, you know, brings a tremendous blessing of healing. But it all starts by, you know, obeying his voice. And, you know, also we see that in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, this one I'm going to read. Here's a new one. Exodus 15:26. We've read it multiple times, so I just skipped over that one. But let me read Deuteronomy 13, you know, and it says, ye shall walk. This is verse 4 of Deuteronomy 13. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So we see this verse brings obeying and serving and cleaving unto God, brings it all together. You know, so the way we want to also introduce this lesson today is that obeying him is to serve him. To serve him is to obey him. You know, so let's approach it in with that perspective. Now, we've already covered some things in earlier lessons that relate to the Lord's expectation on, you know, his commandments. For instance, you know, all the places that we've talked about, we'll cover them again quickly today. Let's go through some scriptures. What does the scripture say about serving the Lord, obeying the Lord, etc.? Well, let's take a look at some other scriptures. Now, in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, this is another one which we have talked about multiple times. The Lord also inviting the people to obey his voice, you know, obey my voice. It was always one thing that he always said, you know, and in Exodus 19 and 5, this one is so powerful. That's why I always, you know, refer back to it. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Now, look at the qualification that the Lord gave there. You know, to be a peculiar treasure, to be something that he chose, something that he will really cherish above everyone else, we got to obey his voice and keep his covenant. You know, and he said, look, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Now, these are the words you should speak unto the children of Israel, Lord told Moses. But you see, it all starts by obeying my voice indeed. You know, so that's one of the key elements that we'll be focusing on here. Obeying his voice. Now, obeying his voice, well, that's something that the scripture says about obeying. You know, so let's read. I'm just going to jump back and forth between Old and New Testament, not in any chronological order. But let's just read, you know, some of these things. What does the scripture say about obeying? I've alluded to this also, you know, in this lesson. In the book of Romans, you know, Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are you? To whom ye obey? So you see again how he links serving and obeying together here. Whosoever you are yielding to obeying their voice, you are their servant. If you yield to the voice of the devil, you are the servant of the devil. If you yield to the voice of your mind, you are the servant of your mind. If you yield to the voice of the flesh, you are the servant of the flesh. If we yield to the voice of sin, it says we are the servant of sin. If we yield unto the voice of righteousness, then we are the servants of righteousness. If we yield unto the voice of obedience, and so on. If you yield to the voice of the Lord, you are then the servant of the Lord. So the scripture makes it very clear. Whomsoever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, whom ye obey. Praise the Lord. So that's very key for us to understand that concept. And we're going to see some other scriptures that help us to understand. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters. You either yield yourselves servants to obey the flesh, or you yield yourselves servants to obey the Spirit of God. You can't serve two masters. You yield yourselves servants to obey the Lord, or you also yield yourselves servants to obey material things. That's the God of Mammon. You know, you can't do it. You pick which one you are going to obey. Now, you either hate the one and love the other, or else you hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. And in that context, he began to tell all these things, which we have talked about. He started it out by saying you can't serve two masters. And then he went on to saying, therefore, you know, based on this thing he just said, that you cannot serve two masters, you're going to have to pick the one or the other. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And all these things he says. So if you put it in context, it looks like, you know, when we are consumed with these things, we're actually serving the God of Mammon. We're serving, you know, the God of material things, you know, and so on. You know, like, you know, what shall you eat? What shall you drink? What shall you put on? And he said, look, is the life not more than meat, and the body not more than raiment? He goes on to give us a lesson about the fowls of the air, how they sow not and they do not reap, you know, or gather into barns. You know, yet your heavenly Father knows that, you know, he knows how to feed them. And he said, you are much better than them. I mean, which of you, by taking thought, he said, can add one cubit to his measure? I mean, 1 inch to your height, just by taking thought. Can you do it? I mean, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and spin not. You know, and they grow, they do these things. They toil not, they spin not. Yet, I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the field, I mean, the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You know, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Second time he's saying that. What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? Well, after all these things, now listen, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? And Jesus is trying to get our attention away from that. So when we are seeking those things, that's like following the God of Mammon. So that's how he started this discussion. You know, but you seek first, because your heavenly Father already knows you have need of these things. You seek him first, how you may live for him, how you get to know him, how you can serve him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So when we continue to belabor and burden ourselves and immerse ourselves and be consumed with all these, you know, what shall we eat? What shall we do? What shall I do with this and this? All these material things, you know, then we are serving those things. Because, you know, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. So that's a perspective to look at. You know, what we want to do, though, is to disengage from such practices where we are so consumed with what material things we need, that we forget the pursuit of the Lord. Now, Joshua said in Joshua 24 and 15, we read this yesterday, you've got to pick whom you will serve. You cannot just be undecided. There's no undecided. It's not like undecided in the voting. There's no undecided. If you did not, you know, intentionally choose the Lord, you've already chosen the opposite side. So there's no undecided in this case, but you must choose whom you will serve. I mean, you know, if the Lord be the Lord, then let's serve him. And if Mammon is the one we want to serve, then serve Mammon. But you can't do them both. You know, you are going to have to pursue one or the other. And Elijah also, when he would go up against the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groove, I mean, he came up with a challenge that is also similar to that. He said, look, you know, you cannot just stand here this day, Your mind is after Baal and sometimes after God and this and that and so forth. Look, you've got to choose who you will serve. If the Lord be God, then serve him. And if Baal is the one you want to serve, then serve him already. But you can't have it both ways. You know, so, you know, and he put up a contest and said, look, all you prophets of the groove and prophets of the Baal, you come out here, call upon the name of your gods, you know, and if he answer you, then let him be God. And I will also call upon the name of the Lord and the God that answered by fire. He said, let him be God. And all the people said, well, that's good. That's well spoken. You can read all that story in 1 Kings chapter 18. You know, so after he mocked them for a great deal, you know, then he called on the name of the Lord, and you know the rest of the story. But the point of this story was, you know, Elijah drew, you know, a line in the sand. You see, how long will you halt between two opinions? You know, the which one is it going to be? You know, if you are going to serve the Lord, serve him already. And if you're going to serve somebody else, you know, then so be it. But you can't have it both ways, he said. So you can, that particular statement is in verse 21 of that chapter. How long will you halt between two opinions? You know, you can't do it both ways. Pick whom you will serve. So both Elijah and Joshua pretty much said the same thing. They put it out there. Make your choice. Are you going to serve the Lord, or whom are you going to serve? Now remember, whomsoever you yield yourselves to obey, his servants you are whom you obey. So let's keep that in the back of your minds. Now, so again, I ask us to challenge us this day, just like Elijah and Joshua did. How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if it be Baal or Mammon or some of these other things that we are chasing, then follow them. You know, so this is the challenge that we are throwing out to ourselves today. But let's continue to see some of the things that the scriptures have to say about serving and obeying. You know, these two things are intertwined. You can't separate one, you know, from the other. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Let's take a look at verse 24. And we read a couple of things in this 1 Samuel that might help us and give us even additional insight. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, you know, the Lord, here's what he said. Well, let me read it just from verse 23 for some context. Moreover, as for me, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, what is the good and the right way? Well, fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your hearts. For consider, see, how great things he has done for you. Now, so, you know, another, the thing that he's bringing out here and that I want to emphasize is, look, because of the great love, his excess love that he has had towards you, you know, it should be a motivation. In fact, we are constrained. The Bible says the love of God constrains us. It's a motivation to love him, to serve him, to obey him. Consider how great things he has done. Great is thy mercy, O God. Great is thy loving kindness. You're always providing for me. You're always doing this. You're always doing that. I mean, when you consider how great things he has done for you, you know, then you know, you ought to serve the Lord. Now, this was Samuel's response, you know, when the people's hearts were changed from following the Lord. The Lord wanted to be their king. But, of course, the people wanted a different king, you know, and so on. They want to be like the, you know, the rest of the nations who had a king. In God's domain, it was theocracy. God was the king. And he wanted to be the king. And he wanted the people to obey and serve him. Well, the people said, well, I mean, that's all good, but you want to be like, you know, all the other nations. And so the thing distressed Samuel. But the Lord told Samuel, look, you're not the one they have really rejected. You're not their king. I'm the one they've rejected. You know, so, and he told Samuel, don't worry about it. You give them what they want. And then tell them, you know, what will befall them later on. You know, so that's, you know, that was the concept in which Samuel was telling them these things. That, look, yes, indeed, you know, the Lord is the one that you should serve and obey. But if you harden your heart and you still choose some other way, I mean, you want to go after some other things, well, so be it. But, you know, remember what the Lord has done for you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 15, the Lord reminded Israel, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Again, that's that singular one. The Creator of Israel, your king. That's right. That's where he really wants to be. Now, a king has subjects and servants, you know, and so the servants of the king must be loyal to their king and serve their king. Otherwise, they are guilty of treason. And high treason, you know, is the one that God says, look, you shall have the highest treason, actually. It's the one where God comes out against you and says, you shall have no other gods besides me. Now, listen to this thing that Malachi called out in Malachi chapter 1. He said in verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. You know, so this is standard stuff. You know, this is cultural, it's traditional. Everybody knew it. A son should honor their father. You know, typically, you know, a servant will also honor their master. And so here's God's challenge, you know, concerning serving and honoring and obeying him. Well, if I then be a father, and you know, he had the attribute of being a father even before the world began. You know, he had this attribute. God did not develop any new attributes. He's eternal God. Whatever he is today, he has already been. Even before there anything was, he's a self-existent God. So he was a father when there was nobody to father. He was a God when there was nobody to be a God over. And that's why he made all these things, you know, bring out all those attributes so he can be God, created the people so he could be God, you know, and then made a way for him to be their father as well, because he was a father. You know, he said, look, if I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear or reverence? You know, that's because that's, you know, if you're a master, your servants must fear and reverence you, you know, and, so the Lord is asking them, you know, you've stolen all these things away from me. You know, now, if we truly say we love the Lord and we truly consider the things that he has done for us, you know, like 1 Samuel 12, 24 was saying, shouldn't we then be driven to serve and to obey him? Let's see again how, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel challenged Saul, you know, after that, you know, Saul thought that he was obeying the Lord. And I want to digress a little bit in that story and talk about, you know, obedience. Because, you know, we're talking about serving the Lord and obedience. In that story of 1 Samuel 15, some of you might know this story, but if you don't know it, well, let me just paraphrase it. You know, the Lord had given, you know, commandment, you know, to Samuel to destroy the Amalekites and so on and so forth. You know, but, you know, he did part of it, but he didn't do it all. And then, you know, so he spared, you know, I think his name is called Agag and so forth, and the best of the sheep and oxen and so on, you know, and he would not utterly destroy them like the Lord commanded. You know, but all the other evil things, you know, he destroyed. And he told the people, destroy all the evil things. You know, but he spared the best of the sheep, the best of the lambs, even let, you know, one of their kings, the king of Amalekite, he let him alive. You know, so now, so when Samuel now came to challenge him, you know, Samuel said to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10, he said, look, the Lord said, he repented me, you know, that I have set Saul to be king, but he turned back from following me. Had not performed. So this thing grieved Samuel. You know, this is the Lord talking to Samuel. And so Samuel is going to get up in the morning and go talk to Saul. You know, so when Samuel now came to Saul, in verse 13, Saul said, ah, Samuel, you know, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He was actually proud of himself. And Samuel said, really? Well, what then is the meaning of all this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of this oxen that I hear? And Samuel said, oh, think nothing of it. It's just this, you know, we just brought them from the Amalekites. You know, people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, so now he's going to justify, you know, his disobedience. Now he's going to say, look, yeah, we came back, you know, we needed to make sacrifice to the Lord. So all the ugly things we destroyed, you know, you know how you gave us commandment of, or, you know, the kind of sheep that must be sacrificed to the Lord, must be clean, spotless, and so forth. You know, the spotted and the wrinkled and grizzled and all that. So, you know, all the ugly ones we destroyed. Now we kept these ones back, so that we can make sacrifice to the Lord, even as you commanded us. So he's going to argue, you know, and so forth, you know, and then he said, look, that's, you know, that's why we did it, but we destroyed everything else. And the Lord said unto Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me tonight. And then Saul said, okay, go on. So Samuel said unto him, look, when you were little in your sight, you know, did I not make you the head of the tribes of Israel? And did the Lord not anoint you over Israel as king when you were nothing? And did the Lord not send you on a journey and said to you, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them till they be consumed? Isn't that what the Lord told you? You know, wherefore then hast thou not obeyed the voice of the Lord? And did fly upon the spoil? And did this evil in the sight of the Lord. Now listen to Saul's defense. But Saul said, but yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. See? Now, so, you know, we need to be really careful here. Sometimes we have in our head what we think is the way that God has instructed us, and we don't follow the way. We do partially what he said, and we consider it as we've done it. That's basically what this man did. He partially did the thing. He actually did go out against the Amalekites, and they did destroy them. You know, and they wiped them out, most of them. But they saved the king, and they looked at all the pleasant things of the spoil and saved that. So in Saul's mind, look, I already done what the Lord asked me to do. You know, and he's still arguing. He said, look, I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You know, but there are people now. He's going to blame it on the people. You know, people always do that. Blame it on someone else. But there are people. Now, you're the king. You're the one that gave them commandment. You could have told them, you know, destroy everything utterly, save nothing alive. That's what the Lord said. You know, you have to be, you know, the carrier of the voice. Just exactly the way you can't interpret it a different way. You know, now, so he said, people took this sheep, this spoil, and so forth, you know, and all that. You know, and here's what the Lord would say to him through Samuel. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See how important it is to obey the voice of the Lord. Now you are arguing that, well, we save these things in order to make sacrifice unto the Lord. Because that's the commandment of the Lord. We need to make sacrifice unto the Lord. And when you win great victory, you have to give sacrifice. So we save these things to give sacrifice unto the Lord. You know? And Samuel said, look, you know, the Lord does not have delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices when you choose to disobey the voice of the Lord. First, obey his voice. Obey his voice. Obey his voice. These are all the things we were hearing throughout the Old Testament. He said, behold, it is better to obey, you know, than to bring sacrifice. And to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion. Now, listen to this. Disobedience is now equated as rebellion. Because your king, who is the Lord, your commander in chief, has given you commandment, but you don't do it. That's disobedience. And if you get other people to follow you in your disobedience, that's mutiny. So, you know, now all of them are in mutiny against the Lord, starting from Saul all the way down. And the Lord said, look, rebellion is that you might as well be in witchcraft when you rebel against the voice of the Lord. Stubbornness is the same as idolatry. You know, compare these two things. You might think, oh, idolatry. Oh, no. You know, I'll never serve any other God. I'll never bow down to anything else. But Lord say, your stubbornness in your heart, when we do not obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, all of us are guilty of this at one time or the other. You know, our stubbornness in our heart is just as, you know, dangerous as idolatry. Because, why is that? Whomsoever you yield yourselves to obey, his servants you are, you obey. Now, if you obey the thoughts of your head that make you to do something different and you are stubborn in, you know, not yielding to the voice of the Lord, then you have obeyed that thing, you have begun to serve that thing, and becomes idolatry. Because thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and none other gods will you serve. You know, so this is how Samuel was breaking it down. And he said, look, because you've done all of these things, the Lord has also rejected you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. This is very serious. Samuel was the first king of Israel, and yet he lost that position because of this thing. He did not sanctify the word of the Lord for full obedience, yet he thought he did what the Lord commanded him. Now, let's add that paradigm into our lives today. Well, let's take a look at it. I mean, Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, ye are they which justify yourselves. You know, like Saul here, I was justifying himself. When we do stuff, we say, well, I've obeyed the word of the Lord, but you didn't actually do it. You know, so we're finding out here that it's 100% is what counts as doing it. If you do 90% of it, 95% of it, 99% of it, you still haven't done it. You know, so you do it. He has spoken, and you do as he says. You know, and that goes for me and you, not just you, me also. It's for all of us. You know, so otherwise, we don't want to be in a situation where the Lord says, I have rejected you. You know, did you know that the Lord said he has made us kings and priests, you know, even upon the earth, not just when we get to some place after this life, but even now, while we are yet here, the Lord invited them to be a kingdom of priests. And John, in the book of Revelation, he said the same thing, that the Lord has already made us kings and priests. He's done that already. It's not that we are going to be, but he has already made us. Listen to this in Revelation chapter 1. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, verse 5. And verse 6, and has made us, not that he's going to make us, he has already made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's already made us kings and priests. It's already done. It's a done deal. Now, Samuel made Saul, anointed him, gave him the oil, gave him the crown, gave him the testimony, gave him everything, you know, and he was first king in Israel after they, you know, rejected God from being king over them. But then God turned around and rejected him as king. Now, can God reject someone whom God already made king? Well, absolutely. We saw it now in the case of Saul. So let's be careful now. And his own case was because of disobedience, which is exactly what the Lord said to the whole children of Israel. Obey my voice, indeed, and you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Well, if they don't obey, then they will not be. It's just that simple. Well, let's pick up a few more verses here in Jeremiah. Chapter 7. Let's look at, Jeremiah was, you know, another prophet that loved to call things out the way they were, you know. Some call him the weeping prophet or whatever. He was always, you know, calling things out. You know, so in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, Jeremiah would challenge many things. You know, the people thought they were pious. They thought they were doing the service of God, coming into the house of the Lord, saying this temple. But they were not obeying the voice of God. They were not doing the right things. They were just carrying on. And Jeremiah would come out and say, amend your ways, and all these things. And would cry out against the people. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23, you know, he's telling them here, look, well, let me just read it from verse 21. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings, you know, and your sacrifices in flesh, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, it's not burnt offerings. Get away with all this, from all this. Same thing that Samuel was saying. God has not delight in burnt offerings when you disobey his voice. The one thing I commanded them was, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that he may be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline unto my eye or my ear. Incline their ear unto my voice, you know, and so forth. But they walked in all the counsels and imagination of their own evil heart, and they went backward and not forward. See? Now, and he says, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent even unto them my prophets, my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but they harden their neck, and they did worse than even their fathers. You know, so, and he said, look, therefore you will speak these words unto them, because they didn't hearken unto me, neither will they hearken unto you, but speak it unto them anyway. Tell them that this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished from them, you know, and the word of the Lord has been cut off from their mouths. So you see how serious God took this issue of obeying his voice. That's how we serve him. In case you are wondering, you know, like we talked about yesterday, serving is not just about running around and so forth. You know, yeah, those are elements of service. I mean, every one of us that's attached to some local ministry, you should do some kind of service. And people do that. But service is beyond that. Serving the Lord is obeying his voice. You know, what he tells you, you do. That's it. You know, so, I mean, his voice may guide you into, you know, submitting yourself to some ministry. But first he told you. And then you're doing it. So it all starts with what he tells you, you know. So, you know, Jesus said, look, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We covered that yesterday. So Jeremiah called them out here and told them, you know, and, you know, the let's fast forward to. Let's go to the New Testament and see some things. But before I go there, let me read something in Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is a psalm which we all like, and we all quote it at times, you know, because it has some, you know, enter into his gates and all that. There's a song we even sing from it, you know. And but let's read a part of it that will talk about us serving the Lord with gladness. So, in fact, let me just read the whole psalm. It's a very short psalm. You know, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lambs. Serve the Lord with gladness. So that's, you know, that's a commandment. You know, come before his presence with singing. That's part of the gladness. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, come and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We sing that part all the time. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. But he started this out by saying, serve the Lord with gladness. We must serve him with gladness. Don't serve him with complaining, with grumbling, with murmurings, and so forth. Serve the Lord with gladness, considering how great things he has done for you. Now, as a matter of fact, when you serve the Lord, Colossians 3 verse 23 tells us, when you serve the Lord, whatever you do, you do it as unto him gladly and with all your heart, you know, knowing that you serve the Lord Christ. So let's read it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, well, let's, you know, let's start even from verse 22. Servants. Okay. Well, let's even read it a little higher. Okay. Let me digress a little bit. You know. This, in this place, he's talking about many things, you know, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, that's starting from verse 12, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and so forth. Some Christian principles here. And if you have hurt against any, forgive them, even as Christ forgave you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, you know, and so forth. Teaching and admonishing yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, whatever you do, now listen to this, whatsoever you do in word or deed, You do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. When you pray, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you get water baptized, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's that simple. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, verse goes on to talk to wives. Submit yourself to your own husbands and his feet into your Lord. Wives, submit yourself. Now, these are obedience things. So if we're not obeying the word of God, then you are not serving him. If the wife does not submit to their own husband. Now, this scripture does not say women should submit to men. There's no such thing in the scriptures. There is that concept that women are inferior to men is nowhere in the scriptures. And women are not instructed or commanded anywhere in the Bible to submit to all men. The man is the head of the woman. And Christ is the head of the man. You know, so now the wife submit to her own husband. You know, you don't have to submit to everybody in the world. You must submit to your own husband. Now, if you do not submit to your own husband, then, though, there's a problem. You know, so submit to your own husbands. And husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. These are commandments. If we're not obeying these commandments, then we already gone in the way of rebellion. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well pleasing unto the Lord. Really? Yes. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Really? Yes. These things are commandments from the Lord. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men please us, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, if you don't want to obey them, then don't be their servant. Because whomsoever you serve, you must obey. You know, if they hire you and you don't want to do what they hire you to do, then quit that job. You shouldn't be there. Because if you are there, you should do what they hire you to do. So if you don't, they don't want to do the thing, they tire you to do it and you don't want to do it, contrary to what you think you should do, then quit the job. But if you are there, you should obey. If you don't want to obey, then don't be there. It's very simple, you know, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, so if you are there, then do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord of Christ. So you see, serving the Lord is in all areas of life. When you are a godly wife, serving your husband, you are serving the Lord. When you are a godly husband, serving your wife, that's right, you heard me, serving your wife and loving her, you're serving the Lord. When you are a godly child, serving your parents, you are serving the Lord. When you are a godly parent, serving your children, mentoring them, you are serving the Lord. Jesus said, "Am not I your master and Lord?" In John chapter 13, we're told that there was an instance Jesus wanted to demonstrate something. Because these disciples were always saying, well, who's the greatest? Who's this? Who's that? So one day, you know, having loved them, we're told, his disciples, he loved them unto the end. And one day, as time was getting closer to the cross, after dinner, you know, he took, you know, towel, he took a bowl of water and was going to show them something, you know, and he laid aside his garments, took a towel, gathered himself, poured himself some water. And people are looking at him. What in the world is he doing? And he began to wash the disciples' feet. You can read this story in John chapter 13, you know, from verse 5 and so on. And he began to wipe them with the towel that he had around it. Now, you know, Simon, he's not going to shut up. And he always has a word. So he comes to Simon. Simon said, "Lord, Do you wash my feet? Jesus said, yeah. What I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will later. So Peter said to him, oh no, you don't wash my feet. I'm the one who wash your feet. You know, and Jesus said unto me, Simon, if I don't wash you, then you have no part with me. The moment Simon heard that, like, oh my goodness, I mean, something going on here. This is not just some water washing that he's doing here. Like, whatever it is, I want all of it. He says, look, Lord, you know, if that's the case, then don't just wash my feet. Look, I give you my hands. I give you my head. I give you everything. Wash everything. And the Lord said, that's not necessary. If I wash you and your feet, you're already clean. You are all clean, but not all of you, because he knew who would betray him, you know. So, and, you know, after he finished all of that, he sat down again and said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? They are looking. Nobody understood it. He said, well, let's read it together. This is John chapter 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. You know, that's what you call me, and you are right, and I am so. Now, if I then, being your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. So Jesus is now going to teach in what we call servant leadership. Now, he said, look, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Now, he's going to tell them something else here too. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that sent is greater than he that sent him. Now, I have done something to show you this. If you are my servants, you can't be greater than your Lord and your Master, which I am, and that's what you call me. So if I have done these things, you ought to also do this. Now, and he's going on to say, look, if you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You know, look. Now, what does this mean? What do we see today? Is this what we see today, really? Do we see our religious leaders actually serving the people? Of course not. The Son of Man, Jesus said, came not to minister, but to be ministered unto. The word minister is actually to serve, which people have turned into some kind of title. We've turned minister into a title. You know, I'm a minister. I'm a minister of the gospel. And it's some kind of title, it's some kind of accolade or whatever. And people, oh, you're a minister. Oh, yeah. So now I'm a minister, you know, that's some kind of title, you know, but minister means to serve. That's what it means. You know, serve is what it means. And if Jesus is showing an example here, you know, he actually did it literally just to show it to them, you know, but we don't sometimes understand how that what Jesus meant. There's many places in the Bible where Jesus said this thing. Matthew 20 verse 28, Mark chapter 10 verse 35, and then also this lesson in John chapter 13 that we have read. Well, let's read Matthew 20 and 28. Jesus bringing this concept out that he himself, being the Lord and the Master, you know, he did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, which means to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. But today, we who are ministers of the gospel, we must be served, you know. We are above the people, you know, just like Saul was shoulders, head and shoulders above the people. There is this Saul anointing. It's a fake anointing, though. People think they are head and shoulders above the people. You know, so, you know, it's the Nicolaitan spirit. We are over here. You are down there. We are the clergy and you are the laity. Well, I'm the minister and you got to carry my Bible. You got to do my this, you got to do that, and so forth. And, you know, some ministers, you know, I mean, they come in, they love to make an entrance. The service is there, everybody's doing things and so forth, trying to praise the Lord. They're nowhere to be found. And when it's time, they've got to make this big entrance. And everybody got to rise up and clap for them and so forth. You know, you know, and we put on all these show. And they've got to have a special seat. And some people have to have special seats. You know, that the seat is like a crown. I mean, it's like a throne kind of thing. You know, I mean, that's just the special. The head and shoulders above the people. They serve, you know, I mean, the people must serve them. But Jesus said, well, if you want to be chief, you better be the servant. And this is the, you know, I mean, because things that we do are upside down. The way of the kingdom is right side up. And the right side up is to be up, you need to be down. To be down, you boot yourself up and God will abase you. Nebuchadnezzar found that out and said, God is able to abase all that walk in pride. You know, but Jesus said, look, because the disciples were constantly asking him, yeah, who's going to be chief? I mean, and so forth. And Jesus said, look, if you want to be chief, then you need to be the servant. What does that mean? Well, you need to be the minister. Let me use the word, which people have turned into something else. If you want to be the chief, you know, then be the servant. That's right. If you want to be chief, be the servant. Servant is the same thing as minister. You know, this is what Jesus taught these concepts. You know, in this same Matthew chapter 20 that we were reading, let me read just a few verses earlier so you can get all of it. You know, how Jesus brought out this thing about service. You know, it started out by mother of James and John, Zebedee's children, coming and saying, look, can we ask you something? We just need a favor. And he said, well, what do you want? And she said to him, grant that these my two sons may sit one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. And Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of me, baptize the baptism I am baptized with? And he said, we are able. And he said, okay, well, you will indeed drink of my cup. And you will indeed be baptized with the baptism I am baptizing with. Well, that's baptism of fire. That's all kinds of things you have to go through, you know. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it was prepared of my Father. Now, when the others heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren, you know. And so, you know, and in other places, they began to say, you know, this and that and so on. You know, who's going to be chief? Who's going to be that? And Jesus would set a little child in front of them and say, you want to be great? Be like this little child. But let's read this story. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, you know, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Well, that's what the church has become. The church has become a place where people are exercising dominion over people. God never said that. God never gave man dominion over man. God gave man dominion over the works of his hands. But what do we do today? Opposite. And Jesus said unto them in verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And you want to serve the Lord? Serve his people. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it goes to any kind of leader, you know, that wants to be, think that they are a leader and they don't know how to serve people, but they are not following the example that Christ gave. You know, he said, because the Son of Man himself came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So we've covered that. That's an aspect of serving the Lord through serving, you know, your husband, your wife, your children, your congregation, whomsoever, you know, and so forth. Now, what did Jesus say about, you know, even when we serve the Lord, what should we expect? Goeth a man anytime, you know, I mean, at his own charges. I mean, the Lord said, look, when I sent you out and told you not to take scrip of money, did you lack anything? So Jesus knows how to take care of those that serve him. But be careful what your expectations are. I'm going to share with us two scriptures to illustrate how the Lord wants us to handle service and expectation of reward. So I'm going to share that with us to close out this lesson on serving the Lord. In the book of Luke chapter 17, there is a lesson that Jesus gave in verses 7 to 10. This is Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. Now let's pay careful attention to this lesson, because it's very important. You know, he says, which of you having a servant, so he's talking on the subject of serving, servant-master relationship. It goes with this topic. Which of you has a servant that went out to plow or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he comes from the field, go and sit down to meat? Now, what does that mean? Well, you sent your servant to do some work in the field. And then he comes back in the house and they say, ah, welcome, Mr. Servant. Go sit down there and refresh yourself. And Jesus said, is that what you guys do? Because he knows how they treat their servants. He said, will you not rather say unto him, ah, now that you are finished from the field, I go get my meal, go do this, go do some other thing and so on. You know, and go get where my I may sup and gird thyself and serve me. When I'm done eating and drinking, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because the servant did the things which he was commanded him to do? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, I don't think so. You know, so likewise ye. Now, this is a very important principle for those that say we want to serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. What is your reason? And what is your expectation? So, likewise, ye, Jesus said, after you have done all the things which I commanded you, wherein he said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So, anything he says, you do. And after you finish doing that, he tells you another one, and you do it too. There's no sitting down. When he tells you another one, you do it again. You know, and so on and so forth. You know, be careful what your expectation is. After you've done all these things which I commanded you, what should be your posture? What should be your response? Should you say, well, Lord, I've done all these things. You know, now, you know, I deserve all these things. Jesus said, look, you should say within yourself, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which was our duty to do. Remember, ye are bought with a price. We are owned, lock, stock, and barrel. People don't like that, but that's the truth. We are, you know, in fact, slave is the right word. It's not just servant. It is slave. You know, that's who we are. We are bought with a price. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We are bought with a price. You know, we are not ourselves. We do not own ourselves. God owns us, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, and so Jesus is saying, look, after you've done these things, then you just say within yourself, look, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which is our duty to do. And then put your hands behind your back and wait for more commandment. It's like when you go to the restaurant, why they call waiters. They come around the table and say, can I get you anything else? Well, that's how we should wait on the Lord. After he's finished telling you the one thing and you did it, praise the Lord. Then what else would I have me do, Lord? You know, that's it. You know, you can't sit down and say, yeah, I've done the will of God and so on. No, you know, there might be other things he still wants you to do. And you got to do them all. You do this one, you do the next one. You do this one, you do the next one. You say, well, who then can do all these things? Well, with your strength, you can't do it. But by the grace of God. For according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, God is the one that's going to make you willing to do it and give you the grace to actually do it. So be careful now. You know, people think, well, you know, I'm in the praise team. I'm a preacher. You know, I'm in the evangelistic team. I am this and that. I'm in the prayer team. I do this and I do that and I do the other. You remember one guy in Luke chapter 18, he was strutting his stuff in prayer. He was saying to the Lord, I'm not like other men. I'm not even like that guy over there. I fast twice a week. I give alms of this. I am in the praise team. I am in the evangelistic team. I am this and that. You know, I'm not like others. You know, and the Lord said, well, his prayer didn't go anywhere. What we need to do, though, is look, you may be doing all those things, but consider yourself unprofitable servant. Now, does that mean there is no reward? Absolutely, there are rewards. We've already covered rewards. But that reward is for him to give. You know, it's not for you to demand. There's a story in Matthew 20 where the master went out early in the day. He actually contracted with some people, said, look, go into my field and work, you know. And they said, well, what would you give us? I said, well, I'll give you a penny. They said, cool. And they went. And then, you know, so on and so forth throughout the day. And then when there was 1 hour left in the working day, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said, why stand you idle here all day long? He said, well, because no man has hired us. He said, okay, well, you go into my vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they didn't negotiate. They went. When it came time at the end of the day, he said, well, gather the workers, let's pay them and start at the last. So when he started at the last, he gave them a penny. A penny was a whole day's wage in those days. He gave them a penny and they were thankful. They went their way. And then he gave everybody a penny. And then when he came to those who had been there for 11 hours, they thought they would have received more. Because, I mean, this guy did only 1 hour. We've been here all 12, 11 hours. And then he gave them one penny. I said, why you give us a penny? These people, they burned just 1 hour. We burned the heat of the day. You can't make us equal with them. The master said, sure I can. You know, did I not agree with you for this? Take that anise and go thy way. Is your eye evil because I'm good? Have I not power to do with mine what is mine? Give to others. I will give to this other as I gave you, and I will do what I want. So you are telling us, look, the reward is from him. He's the one that determines it. And if you do your job just as well as the other, no matter when you started, you get the same reward. The one who had 5 talents and brought 5 more, which was 100%, you know, and then the one that got 2 and brought 2 more, which was also 100%, they both got the same commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Because thou hast been faithful in little things, you will be given more. Now, Jesus didn't say, well, you brought 5 and this guy brought 2 and then I'm going to give you. No, he said, well, you did what you were asked to do. You gave 100%. This one also did what they were asked to do according to their several ability. And he also gave 100%. So they got the same reward. But the reward comes from the master. So be careful now. You know, we serve the Lord Christ. Not because of some reward. There is reward. But he's already, if Christ never did anything else for us, He already done too much. You can never repay Christ for what he's already done. For greater love than this hath no man that he should lay down his life. And he did, you know, for you and for me. So now we serve him and we serve at the pleasure of the Lord. Not because, oh, you know, you're going to give me something. That's why I serve him. No, I serve him because I love him. I serve him because I worship him. You know, I worship him and I serve him and I obey him because, you know, that's what I do because now I know I belong to him. But here is his own reward. Let's close with this. In the book of John, chapter 12, and you know, we've covered rewards of the overcomers, but I'm talking about rewards for service now. In the book of John, chapter 12, let me close with this to balance this out. God actually does have reward for service, but here's how he looks at it. Not the way that we think, but this is how he looks at it. Let's read from John chapter 12, and you know, I'm just going to read from verse 21 or so, or 23, to give us some concept or context. And Jesus said unto them, the hour is come that the Son of Man shall be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if he dies, it bring forth much fruit. That's talking about himself. And as long as Jesus was, did not die yet, he was the only Son of God. But when he died, he multiplied. That's what he's saying here. Now you see all the sons of God bringing many sons unto glory. We're told. Now he that loveth his life shall lose it. So if you're holding on to your life because you don't want to give it away, you know, then you'll lose it. But if you give it away for the Lord's sake, you will keep it to eternal life. Now listen to verse 26 is where I'm really going. If any man serve me, we are talking on the subject of serving the Lord and obeying him. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now, this is the mentality of service. It's the correct mentality. You served me, you're serving me, follow me. And where I am. Now, this is God's own, this is Christ's own reward. Where I am, there will my servant be. That's what he chooses to do that. It's not for us to grab at. It's what he chose to give us. Now, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Hallelujah. God will honor you. You don't need the honor of man. When you truly serve the Lord, the honor will come from the Lord. Jesus put it out here, point blank. If you serve me, and I want everybody to memorize this verse, John 12 and 26, our memory verse for today. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Follow me, which means do as I do. You know, and where I am, there will my servant. Now, you can't grab onto that unless he gave it to you. You can't do it. But he has given it to us. You know, I'm giving you a place, a seat at the table. Hallelujah. I'm giving you a seat at the table. And I'm promising you, if you serve me, my Father will honor you. Ha! Makoro boshi laraba sande. Le braskatori ala kira masoteri bashi laraba. La rosa bari katena shila kori anda selaba kauria. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will instruct these words into our hearts and let us know what true service and true honor is. Jesus said, I seek not the honor of man. There are people that are always seeking the honor of man. They want to serve and you are seeking the honor of man. Now, why is it that people want to be on stage? The honor of man. But people think that until you have the mic, until you are the one that's speaking unto everyone, you know, you're the one that everybody's looking at, then you have no honor. Well, that's the honor of man. And you have your reward. You just say, well, you have your own reward. You know, when you seek the praise of man, you have your reward. But the honor that lasts, the honor that is eternal, the honor that is great is really from the Lord. Jesus said, I seek not the honor of men. He didn't even care for the honor of men. Every time he healed somebody, he told them, don't tell anybody. And he just went his way. You know, today we do one miracle. We put it on YouTube. We put it everywhere. Is it for the glory of the Lord? Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it for something else? Who is it that we are trying to broadcast when we do these things? In the book of John chapter 7, I said I was going to close, but the Holy Spirit said this one too. In the book of John chapter 7, the disciples, even his natural brethren, you know, told Jesus, he said, look, you know, what are you doing? How in the world do you think that people are going to know you when you're always hiding and you're always saying, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. He said, look, no one doeth these things in secret and yet seeks to be known openly. John chapter 7, verse 4. I was telling you these things. If you want doing this thing, show yourself to the world. Broadcast yourself. Get the honor of men. Get acclaim. Advertise. Do all these things. They told Jesus. And Jesus said, look, that's not the way I do things. You know, of course, those people didn't really believe in him, so we're told. And then, my time is not yet, but your time is always yet, here, and so forth. And they told him, look, advertise yourself. But Jesus did the opposite. Every time he healed someone, he said, go and tell nobody. Although they spread the word. He wasn't caring to show off. They would come to him, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And he would not do it. But then, out of compassion, he would turn around and heal the sick. He healed the sick for compassion. He never did a show, you know, because if you try to do something for the devil, you are the servant of the devil. Command these stones to be turned to bread. If Jesus had done it, he would have become the servant of the devil. Because whomsoever you yield yourself to obey, the servant you are whom you obey. When the people said, show us a sign. If he had done it, then he become the servant of the people. And Paul said, if I yet, you know, please man and be, how can I be the servant of the Lord? You know, so this lesson is complete in serving the Lord. And focus on your own service for the Lord. Never mind somebody else. In John chapter 20 and so on, Jesus is coming to Peter and telling him, you know, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. If you love me, Peter, do this and so forth. You know, and you can read that, you know, in John chapter 21. He said, what? He asked him three times. Lovest thou me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. And he asked him again after a while. And I ask you, why do you think Jesus asked him three times? Well, because Peter denied the Lord three times. So Jesus is going to give him, Jesus is the God of second chances. He's going to give you a chance now to come clean, Peter. You denied me three times because I told you you would, but you thought you wouldn't do it, but you did it. Now, do you love me? Because, you know, if he had loved him, he would have stood up for him the first time and he denied him. So he said, yes, Lord. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord. You know, I love you. Well, there's one more coming. You denied me three times. Peter, lovest thou me even more than this? Because you were the one bragging that, you know, you died for me. You really love me more than everybody else? And Peter was grieved. So the Lord told him all these things. Well, okay, you know, when you're converted, you know, strengthen your brethren, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, do all these things. And so the next thing you know, Peter, you know, Peter always has this, you know, he always has a word. He always has his mouth, you know. And so he's looking at John and then say, well, what about him? Ladies and gentlemen, this is something else about service that I need to bring out here. So what about him? What about John? What's your business with John? Jesus is talking to you. He's not talking to John. You know, and many of us are that way today. If you're in your prayer warrior, you're in the prayer team, you're always looking at others who are not motivated to pray. Why are not others praying? Why didn't come to the prayer meeting? Because God didn't call them. He called you. Don't worry about them. It's not your concern. You know, to his master, he standeth or falleth. You are in the evangelistic team. You are the one always going out and winning souls, and others don't join, and you look down on the others. It's none of your concern. Jesus didn't call them. He called you. You know, so Peter said, what about John? Jesus said, it's none of your concern. You focus on what I called you. You know, and so this is a lesson for all of us in serving the Lord. It's not your concern what the Lord has for the other person. You focus on what he called you for. Run your own race tactfully and deliberately and focus on your own finish line. Never mind somebody else. You know, to his master, he standeth or falleth. You know, so let's get away from thinking that, you know, we're better than others because we are the ones that are, you know, prayer warriors. We're the ones that are always coming early to church to pray, and others are not. So you're better than them. You're better than the ones because you're the ones always going out to evangelize, and others are not. You're not better than anybody. You know, you are an unprofitable servant just like everybody else. You're doing what the Lord commanded you to do, and you better do it faithfully. If you do it faithfully, then you get a reward. Don't worry about somebody else. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. Enrich the word in the hearts of your children. And let us remember these words, even that we may say, did not these words burn within our hearts when we heard them? And we knew that the Lord has spoken unto us. Give us, Lord, the grace to serve you with all our heart. For your service is not grievous. Your commandments are not grievous. Teach us, Lord, your way, that we may know you and that we may serve you. And give us the grace to do that which you have put in our hand to do. And let not our hands be weary, as it is written, whosoever putteth forth his hands on the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. So Lord, let us not look back after we've put our hands on the plow. Give us the grace to be faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.